A few days after I started dating my ex-husband, things got intense and fast. One day he came to my apartment building and he stood outside yelling up to my window to get my attention. I had some kind of Romeo and Juliet moment right there. He made me feel like a princess in a tower. When he came up, we had this intense experience. We danced together alone in the apartment, and I literally felt like I was in some kind of amazing romantic movie. We had a small dinner together, and I felt so totally bonded to him as he read poetry he'd written for me. We talked philosophy and art and all the things. Later, we went out with a group of my friends to a local bar that had a band playing. On the dance floor, our bodies moved in rhythm, and they seemed to be moving like we were one. Honestly, it felt like even though we were surrounded by other people, we were the only two in the room. It seemed epic, like something out of a storybook. Later that night when we got home, let's just say the magic continued. This would be one of many nights where in hindsight I would recognize that he had been idealizing me and that it was not in fact the storybook romance that I wanted it to be. Months later, there would be no sign of this romantic guy I'd originally met. He would become a completely different person who constantly devalued and demeaned me. Sometimes he'd do it directly and sometimes it was more subtle, but in any case, I'd spend the rest of our relationship trying to find that guy who had swept me off my feet in the most dramatic way I'd ever experienced. As it turned out, he didn't really exist. But why was that? Had I missed something? What was I thinking? In contrast, when I'd later meet a healthier partner, there was no sweeping me off my feet. It was more calm and felt more balanced. It didn't really feel like immediate infatuation, but we became friends before we fell in love. And while I'll admit that I didn't feel like it was as exciting as it had been with my ex, that relationship turned out to be far healthier overall. And the excitement, while it still occasionally comes around, well, it's mostly replaced with security and comfort and some kind of a deeper feeling of love. So what was the difference? And let me ask you, have you ever experienced a relationship like the first one I mentioned? Have you found yourself ever being treated like the most amazing person on the planet, only to later be treated like some sort of burden or problem in your partner's life, to put it mildly? If so, stick with me because that's exactly what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. How you can tell the difference between a narcissist's idealization phase, also known as love bombing, and more healthy romantic interest. So let's get started. So how can you really tell the difference between a narcissist who's love bombing you or a more healthy partner who's interested in you? You might be surprised to know that that's actually one of the biggest questions I hear from readers, clients, and viewers. How to know the difference between a narcissist love bombing and a normal person who is just generally interested in you? Why is it so hard to tell the difference between someone love bombing and someone who's actually interested in you on a healthy level? Seems pretty logical, right? Well, the fact is that on the outside, someone who is a love bomber and someone who is healthy, who has actually fallen in love, they might appear to be pretty similar. But there are some subtle differences that are often overlooked when we are sort of under the spell of new love. Some of those differences might surprise you. You probably already know that statistically speaking, nearly everyone is willing to overlook certain little flaws in the beginning of a relationship, and nearly everyone is probably a little more careful with how they treat their partners and what they say to them early in the relationship. And even in these so-called normal relationships, as time goes on, nearly everyone finds something that used to be super cute or at least tolerable about their partners that becomes at least a little bit irritating, right? Nearly everyone argues and nearly everyone admits that they've been mean to their partner when they didn't need to at one time or another. So how do we know what is the difference between healthy relationship interest and love bombing from a narcissist? What differentiates a normal healthy relationship from a toxic one? Here are a few key differences to watch for the next time you're considering getting involved with someone new after you've gone through a toxic relationship. Number one, the insta-love factor. A narcissist will almost always proclaim love or soulmate status very early in the relationship. This will almost always lead to an insta-commitment on their part. Insta-love is your first clue that you might be getting involved with a narcissist. A healthy person will take their time getting to know you before rushing into things. To be fair, there are a few real-life cases of love at first sight that are totally legit. But if we're being honest with ourselves, those are really few and far between. It's not realistic. And if this person is really your one, they aren't going to mind taking things slowly. Which brings me to number two, the time factor. The narcissist might say, "Oh my gosh, I just want to spend every second of every day with you." You know, as they roll over and stroke your face as you wake up together for the third time, 76 hours into your first date or whatever. But a more healthy person might say something like, "Gosh, I can't stop thinking about you. I hope you're having a good day," when they're texting you on their lunch break after you had an amazing third date. You see the difference? When you meet a narcissist, you can find yourself completely and absolutely bowled over and just wowed by their level of awesome, so much so that you feel like all you feel like doing is being near them. And the truth is that the very same thing can happen with a healthy new love interest too. The difference is that while a healthy relationship can and often does have an infatuation phase, it also still allows you to stay involved with other important parts of your life. Your family, your work, your spirituality, etc. It does not require you or beg you to dump people in your life in order to avoid missing anything in the relationship. A healthy relationship encourages you to stay involved with your real life. A narcissist demands every moment. A narcissist is going to want you to become dependent on them because this allows them to become dependent on you, my friend, as a source of narcissistic supply. A healthy person might want to spend every moment with you. They might really want that, but they're going to understand and even support your need to continue with your regular life while you get to know each other, even if it means they tag along with you for your family events and outings and things like that, or with your friends sometimes. It does not require you to stop living your own life. That is a big red flag of narcissistic behavior. That brings me to number 3, the drama factor. When you're dealing with a narcissist, there are so many red flags early in the relationship, one of which is often the drama factor. Narcissists often shock you early in the relationship with some strangely little placed outburst or fit, and one that'll be quickly righted, and for which sometimes they'll even apologize. Maybe, for example, they'll blow up at a waiter a little too aggressively when the food shows up cold. Or maybe they'll be super mean to a friend or a relative on the phone, and you'll be shocked by this. And if you question them or you mention their behavior, they will explain it away by explaining why they're justified in their treatment of that person. You know, like, oh, well, that person owed me money for 15 years. They deserve whatever they get. Or, she's always headed out for me. In any case, it's never the narcissist's fault. While a normal person might have a drama moment here and there, they're more understandable and they're not quite so world-stopping as those experienced under the reign of a narcissist. A narcissist will create drama where it doesn't need to be and will break down over the tiniest issues. They might break down if something major happens. You know, they lose their job or their friend dies or their dog dies or something else that any average person, including yourself, might also feel like breaking down about. But a normal person won't freak out if they ask you for some money to buy a soda and you don't have any change. You see what I mean? A narcissist would. That brings me to number 4, the empathy factor. If you're in an early relationship with a narcissist, there are little subtle things that happen in your conversations that can kind of tip you off if you watch for them. Simple patterns that will be evident if you know what to notice. One of the biggest is how empathetic the narcissist is capable of being. Watch what happens when someone in your life or the narcissist's life experiences pain or tragedy in their lives. Watch how the narcissist behaves. You can tell when someone is genuinely concerned versus when someone's being sort of polite about things, right? A narcissist can be a really good actor, and they might even be really good at follow-up questions when they're in the love bombing phase. But when things are back to normal, a narcissist will change the subject if the topic varies from anything that interests them, often rudely or by creating a big scene to get the attention back on themselves. If you're the one dealing with the trouble, a healthy person who's really into you will show genuine concern when someone you care about is hurt or goes through a hard time. They will never make the pain or the tragedy all about them. Instead, they're going to stand by you in whatever way is appropriate at that phase in your relationship, whether that means stepping back to allow you time to deal with the issue or to grieve with your family, or it means to literally stand by you physically while you go through it. If your love interest is the one dealing with the trouble, they will be concerned as much as you might be in a similar situation, and they will want you to stand by them in whatever way is appropriate at that level in your relationship. While a narcissist will want you to feel sorry for them while you baby and spoil them to help end the pain, whether it's their personal pain or not, it'll be all about the narcissist, not the person actually experiencing the issue. So what are the best ways to avoid narcissists in relationships? So here are 3 easy steps that you can take to avoid becoming involved with a narcissist in the future. It's so simple, and you won't even believe it, but I promise you it works. Number 1, you have to take your time in the relationship. Make a rule for yourself that you won't go too fast or commit too soon in any relationship. For example, after I left my ex-husband, I made a rule for myself that I would not allow anyone to propose to me until we'd been monogamously dating for at least 1 year. Then I decided that I'd make it a long engagement just to be safe. To avoid getting involved with a narcissist in the future, just take your time getting to know a new romantic interest. Go slowly. Set your own rules based on your own perception of how long it took you to recognize that you were dealing with a narcissist in the first place this time. This can apply to literally any personal relationship and even to professional ones on certain levels. That is, you sort of maintain your guard in each type of relationship for an appropriate length of time before you assume you can trust anyone. And that brings me to number two, you've got to stay connected to the other people in your life. In order to keep your life in balance and to protect yourself from getting enmeshed with another narcissist, you really need to be careful to still actively cultivate relationships with a variety of people in your life, even and especially when you're in the beginning phases of the new relationships and friendships. Remember how bad it felt when you were isolated from everyone by the narcissist? Well, this is the time that you need to be especially vigilant of staying connected. And listen, I don't care how in love you are, and I don't care how much you think it's your idea to stay in bed for 17 days straight and ignore your phones at the beginning of a relationship, don't do it. Promise yourself that you're going to have regular contact with the other important, healthy people in your life, even if you need to schedule that time. So schedule your contact with your friends, with your family, to avoid getting sucked in by another narcissist. Narcissists won't tolerate it when you are connected to other people. So get yourself connected to a good support network and stick with them. And consider having maybe a recovery buddy who will check in with you on a regular basis and help you remember to remain connected to your network of support and love. This will help you to ensure that you don't inadvertently fall into your old patterns. It can happen before you realize it. That brings me to number three, listen to your gut. Remember when you got involved with your narcissist and you felt a little off, but you couldn't quite put your finger on it? Or maybe you never felt quite comfortable in the relationship and you kind of always felt like you might lose it at any moment. Maybe you lived in fear of being alone or falling flat without the narcissist. Well, this is another really important part of protecting yourself from getting involved with a person like this. You've got to listen to your gut. You've got to listen to your heart, those feelings that creep up inside you when you don't want to listen to them. It doesn't matter how exciting and how amazing someone is when you first meet them. You have to listen to your heart. You have to listen to your gut if you're going to stay safe. If something doesn't feel right, there is a reason for it. And if you're not sure, just go back to number one, take your time. There's really no reason to rush. If it's truly a healthy and mutually satisfying good relationship and the person you've been waiting for all of your life, time should be of no concern. Take your time getting to know each other and enjoy the process. It can be deliciously satisfying if you let it. If you take your time and you have found your one, time is never an issue. Just remember that you deserve better, and remember that, as they say, there are plenty of fish in the sea. Taking your time in a relationship shouldn't be a concern for you, but someone who wants to push you to go faster than you're ready should. It's just one of many signs of love bombing over actual love. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever experienced love bombing or idealization? And have you also experienced any healthier relationships at the beginning? And what differences did you see? Or if not, what are your thoughts about all of this? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you here and there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.